Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 267. Our God is all in all. His children cannot fear. See baseless evil fall and know that God is here. Hymn number 267. Imogen from Australia will read from the scriptures.
The Bible. Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
Father,
which art in heaven, Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 175. Lo, he sent his word and healed them. Still, that word of God is here. Still, its tender, healing message speaks to every listening ear. Truth divine that overcometh all the ills that seem to be, in our hearts, thy word abiding, we may know thee and be free. Hymn number 175. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that are important for the day, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere in the world. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, but they attend via telephone. That means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites in 21 different languages. And every one of our websites provides the very finest of Christian Science literature. And we're very grateful that many people have found one or more of our websites in a language that they understand. They have found our church, and they have found the healing truths of Christian Science. And for that, we are very grateful. And everything that we provide on our websites is offered free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And I would like to point out a very good, interesting article that's featured on our English language website, an article entitled "The Illusion of Animal Magnetism" by Daniel Jensen. You'll find it very interesting and helpful. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which illustrates the benefit of studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Lisa from Ohio.
Page 634, Truth Makes Free. As the son of a physician, a graduate in pharmacy, and an ex-druggist, I had a perfect contempt for what I thought Christian Science to be. About 6.5 years ago, however, having exhausted all material means at my command, materia medica, electricity, gymnastics, cycling, and so on, and being in a hopeless state, the study of Christian Science was taken up. I had been a sufferer from catarrh and sore throat for over 30 years, and in the last 5 were added several others, including dyspepsia and bronchitis and a loss in flesh of 60 pounds. I was completely healed and regained health, strength, and flesh through the spiritual understanding of Christian Science, the result of about 6 weeks' study. This good and perfect gift came to me through the careful and prayerful study of Christian Science. as revealed to the world today through science and health. The promise of Christ Jesus, "The truth shall make you free," was fulfilled, and the past 6 years of health and harmony have been spent in striving to hold fast that which is good. While most grateful for the physical healing, my gratitude for the mental and spiritual regeneration is beyond expression. When I learned that Jesus' mission of healing sickness as well as sin did not end with this short stay upon earth, but is practical in all ages, my joy was unbounded. Having spent thousands in the old way, it seemed wonderful to be healed at such small cost as the price of the little book and a few weeks' study. Every thought of prejudice immediately vanished before the proofs that Christian Science is indeed the elucidation and practical application of Jesus' teachings, which are demonstrable truth, the same yesterday and today and forever. CNC, Memphis, Tennessee.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural text and the correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import, and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Ancient and Modern Necromancy, alias Mesmerism and Hypnotism, Denounced. The golden text is from Psalm. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. The responsive reading is from Titus. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men,
teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world,
looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ,
who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye, every man, the truth to his neighbor. execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Genesis. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Proverbs. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore. Romans. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Second Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Revelation. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Honesty is spiritual power. Dishonesty is human weakness, which forfeits divine help. You uncover sin not in order to injure, but in order to bless the corporeal man, and a right motive has its reward. Evasion of truth cripples integrity and casts thee down from the pinnacle. Christian Science rises above the evidence of the corporeal senses But if you have not risen above sin yourself, do not congratulate yourself upon your blindness to evil or upon the good you know and do not. A dishonest position is far from Christianly scientific. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Try to leave on every student's mind the strong impress of divine science, a high sense of the moral and spiritual qualifications requisite for healing. Well knowing it to be impossible for error, evil, and hate to accomplish the grand results of truth and love. The reception or pursuit of instructions opposite to absolute Christian science must always hinder scientific demonstration. If the student adheres strictly to the teachings of Christian science and ventures not to break its rules, he cannot fail of success in healing. It is Christian science to do right, and nothing short of right doing has any claim to the name. There is no physical science, inasmuch as all truth proceeds from the divine mind. Therefore, truth is not human and is not a law of matter, for matter is not a lawgiver. Science is an emanation of divine mind and is alone able to interpret God aright. It has a spiritual and not a material origin. It is a divine utterance, the comforter which leadeth into all truth. In the science of mind healing, it is imperative to be honest, for victory rests on the side of immutable right. To understand God strengthens hope, enthrones faith in truth, and verifies Jesus' word, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." When God heals the sick or the sinning, they should know the great benefit which mind has wrought. They should also know the great delusion of mortal mind when it makes them sick or sinful. Many are willing to open the eyes of the people to the power of good resident in divine mind, but they are not so willing to point out the evil in human thought and expose evil's hidden mental ways of accomplishing iniquity. Why this backwardness? Since exposure is necessary to ensure the avoidance of the evil. Because people like you better when you tell them their virtues than when you tell them their vices. Belief produces the results of belief, and the penalties it affixes last so long as the belief and are inseparable from it. The remedy consists in probing the trouble to the bottom, in finding and casting out by denial the error of belief which produces a mortal disorder, never honoring erroneous belief with the title of law or yielding obedience to it. Truth, life, and love are the only legitimate and eternal demands on man, and they are spiritual lawgivers. enforcing obedience through divine statutes. Controlled by the divine intelligence, man is harmonious and eternal. Whatever is governed by a false belief is discordant and mortal. Expose and denounce the claims of evil and disease in all their forms, but realize no reality in them. A sinner is not reformed merely by assuring him that he cannot be a sinner because there is no sin. To put down the claim of sin, you must detect it. Remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin, and so prove its unreality. The sick are not healed merely by declaring there is no sickness, but by knowing that there is none. A sinner is afraid to cast the first stone. He may say, as a subterfuge, that evil is unreal, but to know it, he must demonstrate his statement. Man's moral mercury, rising or falling, registers his healing ability and fitness to teach. You should practice well what you know, and you will then advance in proportion to your honesty and fidelity, qualities which ensure success in this science. We never need to despair of an honest heart, but there is little hope for those who come only spasmodically face to face with their wickedness and then seek to hide it. Their prayers are indexes which do not correspond with their character. They hold secret fellowship with sin, and such externals are spoken of by Jesus as like unto whited sepulchres, full of all uncleanness. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. The spiritual sense of truth must be gained before truth can be understood. This sense is assimilated only as we are honest, unselfish, loving, and meek. In the soil of an honest and good heart, the seed must be sown, else it beareth not much fruit. For the swinish element in human nature uproots it. Experience should be the school of virtue, and human happiness should proceed from man's highest nature. Stick to the truth of being, in contradistinction to the error that life, substance, or intelligence can be in matter. Plead with an honest conviction of truth, and a clear perception of the unchanging, unerring, and certain effect of divine science. Then, if your fidelity is half equal to the truth of your plea, you will heal the sick. Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us sing hymn number 298. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Saw ye my Savior? Heard ye the glad sound? Felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Hymn number 298.
Thank you.
Let us now sing hymn number 269. Our God is love, unchanging love, and can we ask for more? Our prayer for love's increase is vain, 'twas infinite before. Ask not the Lord with breath of praise for more than we accept. The open fount is free to all, God's promises are kept. Hymn number 269.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 Timothy, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen.